Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and this week's online video picks are up on our website. Each week we select five web videos and I anchor them on our site. This week's picks include The Onion's hilarious instruction video on how to stalk your children on Facebook. See our five video picks at WNYC.org/video. 30 issues in 30 days. Issue 3, cities in the New Jersey governor's race. Cities as an issue between Christie and Corzine and Daggett. First, we're going to focus on Newark, which tends to get a bad rap. But as Newark Mayor Cory Booker points out in the new Sundance Channel documentary, Brick City, 60 years ago, Newark was on the cover of Harper's Magazine as the most livable city in the country. But it's not anymore.
I will not go through a summer like last year. June, 7 murders. July, 8 murders. August, 10 murders. You all remember 3 of our college students, the best of the bricks, shot and murdered. We can stop this now.
The best of the bricks, shot and murdered. Mayor Cory Booker from Brick City, which follows the mayor, school principals, the police chief, and residents on a quest to get Newark back on track in the summer of 2008. So we'll talk about the TV series and get from our guests what they think Newark and other New Jersey cities need from state government. We'll also talk about each of the gubernatorial candidates' approach to urban policy later in the hour. We welcome Mark Levin, co-director of the series Brick City, airing each night this week on the Sundance Channel. Jada, one of the main characters in the cities in the series, also joining us. And journalist David Cruz, editor of the Blog City blog. That's what it's called, Blog City. And he is also featured in Brick City as the host of the weekly interview show with the mayor. As you may know, he's been a guest host on this show as well. So welcome all of you to WNYC today. Good morning.
How are you doing, Brian?
Thank you.
Mark, why is the city of Newark dubbed Brick City? Tough as bricks or something else?
Tough as bricks, and the architecture. There's a lot of buildings with bricks. Used to be brick factories there, but it got the reputation as being hard, tough, strong.
You're from Maplewood. Why did you make this series about Newark?
For many years I've done films about what's happening in our cities. Followed politicians, followed law enforcement, followed street gangs, and this was a unique opportunity to weave them all together in a series and show that a community that's trying to change is like an organism. These things are all connected. A decision that's made in City Hall can affect what's happening in a high school, can affect what's happening in somebody's home, can affect what's happening in the police station. So to have the unique opportunity to try to weave all of these things together in a moment when change had become the mantra in our culture, it was an opportunity we couldn't say no to.
Jada, you're one of the central figures in the documentary series. It follows you in the summer of last year. You're pregnant. You're trying to figure out if you want to stay with your boyfriend. And meanwhile, you're trying to start a nonprofit organization to mentor young women in Newark. How are things for you now?
Things are actually going great. Creep, who is my boyfriend.
That's a great name.
Darrell. Love you. We're together, and we have an 8-month-old little girl. Her name is Layla Anye. And Nine Strong Women is the name of the nonprofit that I started and is up and running. We have a webpage up, www.ninestrongwomen.info. And we have we service young ladies between the ages of 13 and 17. We do not turn any of our ladies away. And what Nine Strong Women has to offer is really changing the lives of these young ladies.
And Layla's in the green room.
Yes, she is.
Taking half our staff to keep her at one piece. No. At age 14, you joined the Bloods.
Yes, gang, I did.
And you were getting into a lot of trouble. What do you think would have prevented you from joining a gang? Anything, since we're doing this in the context of a gubernatorial election series, anything the government could have done?
Yes. I think that the government could have had more programs available for young ladies. And not only more programs, but more people that really care about us, that really, you know, they don't just want a paycheck, but they want to help and they want to see progress in a young, stubborn, angry, you know, young lady that probably is not the best person to talk to. You know, I'm sure I wasn't the best.
So while you're pregnant, while you're trying to figure out your relationship, you're starting this independent not-for-profit organization in part because the government is failing to do what you have to step up and do?
Well, I think that they're just not aware. I think that over the years, over the decades, you know, a lot of young men have been getting in a lot of trouble. And the role of the women and that everybody see was, you know, just to be quiet in the house, take care, clean, and go to school. And over a period of time, young women, you know, were put in different predicaments where they had to do other things. And they were angry and were alone.
All these years we've been talking about these problems?
I know.
And government is not aware?
I mean, state of New Jersey, you know, there's two programs that solely services young ladies. And those programs, the young ladies have to be in jail before they go. So I see the difference. I see the need.
David Cruz, weigh in on that.
Well, in terms of government, well, I guess there's levels of awareness, right? I mean, I think that when you're trying to run a government program or create a government program, a lot of times the people who do this see these problems in the abstract. And I think sometimes that cookie cutter approach, like Jada said, you know, there aren't a lot of programs that deal specifically with providing services for young women, particularly in Newark, until they become part of the system.
Right.
And I think that sometimes when politicians and bureaucrats put together these programs, they see everything in terms of service units as opposed to people served.
Brick City focuses on Mayor Booker's effort to work with his police department under the direction of Gary McCarthy. Here's a clip.
We did an analysis. We went back 3 years, and we looked at the locations where we have clusters that show the greatest propensity for violence. We're going to create something called Operation Impact, which you may have heard of, that they do in that other place over there where I used to work. We're going to peel off a percentage of the academy class and drop them into this location. You know, there's a science to this. Make no mistake about it. We do this, and that happened.
Give us the context of that clip, filmmaker Mark Levin.
That's from what's called a CompStat meeting, where the top police officials get together and use, I guess, what you would call computer and modern scientific techniques to try to analyze where crime is and how to most effectively combat it. And it was first instituted in New York City, which is where Gary McCarthy came up. He's from the Bronx. He's a controversial character in Newark. And I think what's unique about their approach to law enforcement and street violence especially, and what we tried to capture in Brick City, is you can't just do it top down. As successful as some of these techniques were in New York City, the Giuliani administration obviously alienated a lot of people and rose the tensions in terms of racial tension. What's unique in Newark is you got Gary and this CompStat approach, but at the same time, you have grassroots community activists, and Newark has a long history of militant activism working to solve some of the same problems. So we tried to do that where, you know, you can look at City Hall and the police headquarters, like in this scene, and yet at the same time, you want to see what the Street Warriors are doing, or SOS, or Jada's, you know, group, Nine Strong Women. And I think you need both top down and bottom up to really be effective.
We see in the film Cory Booker and the police celebrating a significant statistical reduction in murders and overall crime, something like a 40% reduction, number one in the nation for violent crime reduction. David Cruz, do you see that impact? Do you buy the statistics?
Well, the statistics are, you know, as they're read. I mean, it's certainly a reduction in crime, but you have to take into account where they began, you know. But I think mostly in Newark, I think the important thing in terms of McCarthy, his police force, and the people of Newark is, and this is something that Booker has talked about since he came into office, was changing the culture on both sides. And I think that it was telling that when we had the premiere last week at Symphony Hall in Newark, that when McCarthy was introduced, he got his fair share of boos and hisses, which he probably would take as a great compliment. But I think it speaks to the need still to change the culture, both on the side of the police, who perceive everyone as a potential criminal, and from the folks on the street who see every cop as a potential criminal.
Mm-hmm. Jada, from Nine Strong Women, do you see the impact? Do you see 40% reduction in crime? Do you buy the statistics?
Well, I think that I'm on a different side. Instead of, well, when you have McCarthy and, you know, Cory Booker and everybody, they're looking at the paper, and they do see that it's a 40% reduction. However, for me, I'm on the side where I know the families of the people who are being murdered, and I'm going to the funerals, and I'm at the wakes and the rallies. So I do believe that they're trying to do everything in their power, and I you know, it's in black and white, so that's what it is. But as far as me feeling that, you know, it's just hard to. It's hard to when you're looking in.
It's a big city too, right?
Because yeah, it's a huge city.
You could see crime reductions in certain areas, specifically downtown, which, you know, is business driven. But in the hood, you know, crime is as crime was, I think, to a great degree.
To a great degree, and then you have to think about it. They're taking a lot of precautions as far as the living situations, as far as housing and tearing down projects and building up, you know, housing or townhouses or whatnot. And everything matters, you know, where you live, how many trees are on that block, to whereas if somebody can catch you, you know, in the corner and shoot you without being caught. And they're looking at it from all different aspects, and they're taking the necessary, you know, just making the necessary decisions to change that. But it is very difficult looking into the child's face whose mom was just shot and killed, like Nakisha Allen, 6 times, right down the street from me.
I just want to add one thing. First of all, I think the homicide rate, it was a 33% reduction, which was remarkable. But this isn't just Newark's problem. I mean, come on. You know, the guns, the violence, the drug war. You know, these are national policies. This is a national problem, epidemic. We have ignored for, you know, 25 years. Our eye has been, you know, other places, overseas, et cetera. And, you know, it's come home. We chose Newark because it was one of the few cities and leadership that was willing to say, hey, look, we got to tackle this. You know, we've had our eye off the ball. So this is Hartford's problem, Baltimore's problem, Washington, Los Angeles, Chicago. This is America's problem.
Mark Levin with us on WNYC, co-director of the series Brick City, airing each night this week on the Sundance Channel. He was just speaking. Jada, one of the main characters in the series. Characters makes it sound like it's fiction. You're a real-life person being documented here. Do you want to go by only your first name here? Is that your choice, by the way?
Jada's fine.
Okay. And David Cruz, editor of Blog City,
It's actually blogcityblog.com.
Blogcityblog.com, a blog about Blog City. No, you're blogging about Newark.
Jersey City most specifically, but North Jersey more generally.
All right. Also featured in Brick City, you see him interviewing Mayor Booker. And before we go on with David and another journalist to do a kind of direct comparison of the Corzine and Christie approaches to cities as far as they are understood, since we're doing this in the context of our gubernatorial race series, listeners, especially Newark residents, what do you see? Do you see the kind of improvements that Mayor Booker is touting in the film? What do you want to see from your government at the local or the state level? You can give us a call if you want, just over the next few minutes, 212-433-WNYC, or comment online at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. But we will take Newark calls right now at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And David Cruz, we're trying to understand what role the state can play in getting a city like Newark out from under poverty, drugs, gangs, violence. You clearly shot massive amounts, or David, you shot massive amounts of footage of the mayor, the police chief, school principals, Newark residents. What role do you see the state having in helping this? You focus so much on the mayor, and that makes sense, but we see Cory Booker trying to do it all. So as we sit here in a gubernatorial election year, you know, what would you like to say to Corzine and Christie and the independent candidate Daggett and any others who may be running?
Well, that's a good question, Brian. That'll be the next series, Garden State. But I think two things come to mind immediately.
Brick City, Garden State.
One is, you know, the stimulus funds, you know, that the federal government allocated. And you've got certain Republican governors who are basically saying they're going to reject this money. They're not going to – not only are they going to not take it into their states, they're not going to then distribute it to needy places like Newark, New Jersey. So that could make a huge, huge difference to not have this federal money that is trying to soften this great recession. The other thing is take guns. We were just talking about the violence on the streets and how you combat it. Obviously, the NRA, this is another political position in terms of gun rights, the rights of gun owners. New Jersey and Newark is right in the middle of all these transportation systems, and guns come from Virginia, guns come from Philadelphia. And we need somebody, if we're going to try to stop some of this violence, who is willing to stand up to the NRA. So this is my personal, you know, political view, but mm-hmm. I think that the State House in Trenton, you know, can be a huge difference over the next few years in what happens in a city like Newark.
Jada, do you think young people in Newark are paying attention to the New Jersey governor's race? Do you think they even know the names Chris Christie and John Corzine or what they stand for?
I think that now there's definitely more awareness since everybody went and voted for Obama. And in the schools, there's a lot of teachers and there's a lot of mentors that are going to the schools and speaking to the young kids about who's running and the importance of voting. And I know myself personally, we watch the news at home. We'll even in my crowd, which is 26, 30, and maybe even younger, 20 years old, and there's more political speaking on these streets that I've noticed.
Because of the election of President Obama.
Because of the election, of definitely.
And all the organizing that went into that beforehand.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, how do you hear, and how do you think your friends hear, a lot of the presidents talk about personal responsibility, because he seems to be saying, and he said it in his education speech the other day, which was all about, hey, your government may be messing up, your parents may be messing up, your school may be messing up, doesn't matter, it's on you not to join gangs and to study hard in school and get your life together. How do you hear that?
I hear that's a wonderful message. I think that I was actually going to piggyback off of from what Mark Levin said. And there's one way that we can point fingers and we can say that, you know, the mayor and everybody has a responsibility or they owe us something. But I think that before you point fingers, you need to definitely look at yourself and look at what you're doing to help, you know, the problem. And I also think that the mental thinking, the way we think, the way we are so quick to focus on the problem instead of focusing on the solution. And if there's any way possible that we can help with the solution, I think we should. And I think that the proof is in the pudding. And if you spend most of your time working on yourself and what you can do to help, you won't have too much energy to focus on everybody else. And you probably will be blessed enough so that everybody else that's not doing something will notice you, and then it'll come out.
Diego in Newark. You're on WNYC. Who can follow that? Hi, Diego.
Good afternoon. I wanted to just weigh in on the issue. I would say that I am a surgeon in training at University Hospital in Newark, and we have seen a quite dramatic decrease in the number of admissions from gunshot wounds as well as penetrating stab injuries. So, I mean, from our standpoint, it's almost like our own uncommon economic indicator, I guess, as something analogous. But we have certainly seen a decrease. I can't truly speak to the statistics that Mayor Booker has that are being quoted. However, we have certainly seen a decrease in admissions from penetrating injuries at our hospital. So,
that's a great testimonial from on the front lines. That's where it is observed.
Can I say one thing,
Mark,
today?
Please.
Because I know I've heard in some recent activist demonstrations that, you know, we have to stop looking at some of the crime issues and law enforcement issues simply as that, but as public health issues. And I thought that was interesting. One of the things, if we do a second season, is we've talked about looking at the University Hospital where this gentleman works, which is an amazing center where doctors from all over the world come. And given the healthcare debate that, you know, we're now going through as a society, that may be a place we want to look at.
And he mentions an uncommon economic indicator, the fact that even in these times that are harder than they were last year and the year before, for violent crime to be going down that much, it's even that much more of an accomplishment. Bernard in Newark is a little bit more skeptical, I think, though. Hi, Bernard.
Hi, Brown Lara. How are you?
Good, thank you. So go ahead, Bernard. What'd you call to say?
I just want to thank the lady on your show for the good job she's doing. But on a more important note, I don't think crime is going to go away in Newark, because that's where I live.
Is or is not?
Come again?
Did you say crime is going or crime is not going to go away?
It's never going to go away, because these people are drug dealers, walking around, not doing anything. They don't have any meaningful living of standard, so they deal in drugs. And secondly, there is no stringent gun control laws that we have in Newark. And so, therefore, the killing will continue. Last week, I just saw at Newark downtown where a gentleman was stabbed to death, and when the police came in, they knew who did it, but nobody is willing to volunteer any information. Because if you give out the information, the retribution will definitely come to you and your family. So it's just the way things are in Newark.
So, Jada and Bernard, thank you very much. I'm going to give you the last word here before we switch up and bring in round two of our guests on this. But he mentioned some persistent problems. Without gainful employment, people are going to join gangs to deal drugs to make money. There's a don't snitch movement that's still in effect on the streets, and you heard his comments.
Right. I heard the man's comments, and thank you very much, Bernard, for that wonderful comment. However, I think that, once again, focus on the solutions. There's a lot of killings, as our gangs are, you know, however all the residents feel, but there aren't enough mentors out here on these streets, and there aren't enough people who are coming together and unifying themselves together so that we can write proposals and focus on more reentry programs, focus on discharge. Because a lot of these people are in jail. They come home from jail. They have felonies. You know, I've been in a situation where I've been told, you know, just cop out to a felony. Just plead to a felony and we won't give you anything else. And as soon as you have a felony on your jacket, now the jobs are going to turn their backs on you. But if we come together more as a community and we start developing more jobs for our people, then I bet you will notice that the drug dealing probably will stop. People don't want to wake up every morning and sell crack cocaine to the community. I mean, you have to understand that people are in, men and women are in situations where they have kids. They're looking every day for a job, and because of their past and because of wrong choices that they've made, it's, you know, detrimental to their future. And I'm not saying feel sorry for us, but just be part of the solution.
Jada from Nine Strong Women, one of the main subjects of the documentary series Brick City, airing this week on the Sundance Channel. Mark Levin, co-director of the series, thank you very much. Journalist David Cruz is going to stay with us, and we'll bring in another journalist with him as well to put this more directly in the context of the gubernatorial race. Thank you, Mark. Thank you,
thank
Jada.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and Digesting Politics is back. It's our weekly podcast where Andrea Bernstein, Bob Headley, and I discuss politics over lunch. This week, from the president's tour of the Sunday talk shows to the Grand Street bike lane, Digesting Politics is a web-only feature not heard on the radio. You can sign up for free at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. So we've been focusing on Newark, but we want to broaden this discussion to urban policy statewide, and specifically how each of the gubernatorial candidates might approach governing New Jersey cities differently. Joining me now, Charles Stile, political columnist for the Bergen Record. David Cruz from blogcityblog.com is also sticking around. Oh, and do I see that we have, forgive me, do I see that we have Lieutenant Governor candidate Christine Guadagno on the line? No. Okay, I'm very confused. But we do have Charlie Stile, political columnist for the Bergen Record, and David Cruz here. Charlie, thanks for coming on.
My pleasure.
So we've been talking about Newark and largely issues of crime in the role as the job of the police and the mayor to fight. What role does the governor have to play in terms of helping Cory Booker and other mayors in this quest?
Well, he has a vast attorney general, law and public safety bureaucracy, and which has a vast budget. And if this is a priority of his, there's a lot of opportunity to devote resources and manpower in a lot of creative ways. And one that he has talked about on the campaign trail, although there's a lot of it's more thematic than anything specific, is that he would apply a sort of, or working in partnership, I guess, with the city, it applies sort of the Comstat model of William Bratton out in Los Angeles Police Department, where there's a sort of a micro collection of statistics on a almost neighborhood-by-neighborhood basis. And by keeping on top of trends, micro trends in the neighborhoods, they could see where problems arise, where to devote personnel, and where not to devote personnel, et cetera. And he's even talked about expanding that model beyond just crime, but to a variety of social and urban needs as well.
And Christie is proposing something called City Track, modeled after Comstat, which we saw featured in the Brick City series, was originally a Giuliani tool in New York to measure progress and enforce accountability when it comes to education, economic development, and crime. He claims that this would be the first time in New Jersey cities that there would be this kind of measurement and accountability tool. Fair statement?
I think there are versions of it that have already been in place. I know the city of Trenton has a very concentrated model that's very similar to that. I can't speak for every city, but I know, you know, broadly defined, it's probably been emulated elsewhere.
And on his website, he criticizes the Corzine administration for programs like the Urban Fund and the New Jersey Enterprise Zones for being renewed despite, as Christie claims, an absence of any clear indication that they are working. David Cruz, is it clear to you what Christie proposes as an alternative or how effective Corzine has been in this area?
Well, there's not a lot of clarity to Christie's position on this, except to say that Corzine's doing it wrong. But I think that the Urban Enterprise Zone, and I think Chris Christie has a point here, Urban Enterprise Zone and other programs like that really fail to measure their success beyond, again, some statistics, which can be, you know, manipulated and read however you want to do that. Just from personal experience and covering this stuff, urban enterprise zones and special improvement districts within urban enterprise zones often become black holes for federal and state and dollars that are taxed of the businesses in that area. They often fall into a black hole of streetscape improvements and that sort of thing. And I think Christie does have a point in that regard, because I think people see these programs making their downtowns look a little better, but the empty storefronts are the empty storefronts despite the beautiful new streetscape.
Well, and also, if I could add to that, the other problem with the money is that it doesn't always get the concept of the Urban Enterprise Zone was the money that was generated in those zones would be rerouted back for those types of improvements. But the larger aim was to just simply attract and maintain and retain businesses in those areas. And that hasn't really been, it's mostly anecdotal. There's no real way to really measure that. And the other problem is there's some of that revenue that's been generated, there's been a lot of concern expressed down here in Trenton that a lot of that revenue ends up getting thrown into this fungible general fund. And during recent budget crisis, it's helped prop up or help patch tide the state through its budget crises. So it hasn't really been, it hasn't really fulfilled its mission.
They do have a difference on gun laws, David Cruz, right?
Yeah. Christie thinks that the gun laws that exist now are stringent enough. He doesn't support the one gun per month ban that was just signed by the governor.
That would be a maximum mm-hmm. for
yeah,
purchase.
Right, one gun per month. So right. I think that's really their big difference in terms of guns. And Christie gets support from a lot of sportsmen's groups and hunters and so on. So Corzine obviously isn't getting that support because of his position on guns.
I will say this, though. Christie is not a easily defined pigeonhole NRA guy. He has varied with them. He opposes, for example, concealed carry legislation, basically allow you to carry guns. And that is a big NRA priority. He opposes that. And he was, as U.S. attorney, he prosecuted hundreds of gun cases here. But, as David said, he has said, I don't see any need for any additional gun laws, including there's a ban on armor-piercing rifles that's been languishing in the legislature, and that puts him in good stead with the NRA. So he's sort of gray on that area, but gray is good enough for the Corzine attack machine. They're going to paint him as a, like they've done other Republicans in the past 20 years, paint him as a water boy for the NRA.
And I guess they'll pick up on the quote by the lieutenant governor candidate, Christie's running mate, Kimberly mm-hmm. Guadagno, who recently said she's afraid to walk the streets of Newark, particularly around the Rutgers Newark campus. And you wrote a column about that and how this is causing people to question her and her commitment to bring back our cities.
Well, I found it really interesting. I don't think... to me, it was, and it led me to suspect that there's going to be a kind of good cop, bad cop on with the Republican base in this campaign. Christie is going to appeal to more of the moderate Republican to try to appeal to independents uh-huh. and some disillusioned Democrats.
And
by
she's going to try to keep the right intact.
Correct. And yeah, to me, it was no one will dispute that people have fear in walking in certain fear crime in Newark. It was just really a matter of emphasis. If she mm-hmm. really believed, if she really had an inspiring message to say, look, this is a great city. It's got a lot of great promise, and we believe that that it's
right. It just
would have
sounded a lot different and left a different impression. I want to jump in only because I want to make sure in our last 2 minutes to get one other issue in here, and that's urban schools and specifically David Cruz, the issue of school choice and vouchers. This isn't a pet issue for conservatives nationally like it was simply for conservatives. It's embraced by black clergy, by urban Latino activists, and the candidates are different on vouchers and school choice, right?
Yeah, and I think this is where Christie is trying to make some headway in urban areas like Newark and Jersey City, where he's very pro-voucher. In fact, he supports a bill that would allow businesses in New Jersey to take their tax dollars and direct them specifically to scholarships for kids to go to private schools. And Corzine is not a voucher guy, but I think that Christie's message has been resonating in certain urban areas, Hudson and Essex particularly, that I know of, with that message.
And Christie plans to eliminate, he says, the charter school waiting list. He criticizes Corzine for only approving one of 22 applications for new charter schools last year, which is accurate?
That is accurate. Yeah. Corzine has been slow on the uptake, and I think he's reflected the NJEA on that. They have not been proactive on it. I mean, there is a law on the books that does allow charter schools, but they tend to say, well, a lot of these applications have been skimpy.
And the NJEA is the teachers' union, which has endorsed
Corzine.
Is that endorsement, we have 15 seconds. David, is that endorsement a net plus for Corzine or a net minus?
It can't hurt.
No, that's going to be, on election day.
More support than backlash against the teachers. More teachers voting than others.
And working.
They're in every nook and cranny of the state.
And working together.
And they're informed.
All right. There we have it on cities as an issue in the gubernatorial race with Charles Stile, political columnist for The Record, David Cruz from blogcityblog.com, focusing on North Jersey. Thank you both so much.
Thank you, Brian.
You're welcome.
And tomorrow we continue on New Jersey, 30 Issues in 30 Days, Issue 4, John Corzine's Record. Talk to you then. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.